Hello and welcome to Zig When They Zag, a podcast for business leaders obsessed with growth. In June 2020, I talked to my co-host Kevin Ring about brand equity, and I blew him away with my Oreo analogy. You'll have to hear it to understand it. Brand equity is key to understanding success with your long-term marketing strategy. I hope you get something out of this episode. Enjoy!
Oh, hey, Jessica. I didn't see you there. What are you up to?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
When was the last time you went to the cookie aisle at the grocery store?
Oh, my gosh. When was the last time I went to the grocery store?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question, right? Because a lot of us aren't even going to the grocery store during this
time. No, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
2019.
Yeah, right? Imagine a time when you could go to the grocery store. So the cookie aisle in my HEB, HEB is a great organization, by the way. Also, shout out to Meijer. Any of y'all from the Midwest, Meijer, amazing. But in HEB, the cookie aisle is also the coffee aisle. So I particularly like that aisle because you go down the right-hand side, you have teas and then coffees and then really like big, cheap coffee. So I never look at that. And on the left-hand side, you have really nice cookies, and then you have like Chips Ahoy. So that's what I think is really nice. But then you have like the really fancy cookies, right? And then it gets into kind of the crackers and snacks. Yeah, why do you ask?
Well, I was just wondering if you ever noticed, like in the last few years, the enormous amount of Oreos in the cookie aisle. Like there are a million different flavors of Oreos that didn't exist before. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And you know why Oreo is doing that?
Because Oreos are delightful and they're trying to make life even better.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I also thought they just had a crazy R&D budget and they were just going to try to figure out what the next big thing was.
Oh my God, that would be amazing to be an R&D for Oreo.
I know.
I'd totally be the guy. It'd be like the razor, the razors, right? It's like, we're going to four blades. No.
That's insane.
Sextuple stuffed Oreo. Like four in the pack and they're each like this big. Anyway, sorry. I'm sure you guys have something very...
I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Okay. Yeah. So... one of the reasons, the primary reason Oreo came out with so many flavors is for shelf space. They knew if they came out with more and more Oreos, they would eventually just be the cookie in the cookie aisle. And it worked, right? Like, especially when it first started, I mean, there were entire like end caps dedicated to Oreo and then like the first several shelves from top to bottom, Oreos. You couldn't even see the other cookies anymore. And the reason why I bring it up is when I think about big businesses, like enterprise level brands, they have so much money that they can basically buy their brand equity, which is what we're going to talk about today. You just purchase it. They're purchasing shelf space. They're purchasing attention. And then when you come to small to mid-sized businesses, I mean, even regular large businesses that aren't enterprise brands, they can't afford to buy their brand equity. They have to earn it. And so if they don't understand how to earn it, they won't. And so today I really wanted to talk about what is brand equity. And when you kind of pull it apart and look at it like a relationship with your customer, I think it'll make it more accessible for the clients that we work with to understand it.
Oh, that's amazing. even just for me, no, but seriously, thinking about like the person at the grocery store who's responsible for deciding where things go is called the category manager. And they have one for every type of food and they have all the relationships and they run all this analysis on profitability and pricing points and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a super incredible job. Yeah. And it's such a great analogy because immediately the thing that I thought was like, all these businesses, because they can't get the premium shelf space, are going to be stuck on the bottom row. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I can't see the bottom row. Like,
and I can't see the top shelf. So
this is why we're talking about brand equity.
That's right. Well, in the cookie analogy, I was thinking the opportunity here, if you have a very tiny cookie brand, if you really understand your customer well and where they're shopping in the grocery store, maybe you opt out of the cookie aisle altogether and place your product somewhere else, you know, but you have to kind of understand what that relationship with your customer is in order to make a big drastic decision like that. So let's pull it apart.
Ready? I love, okay. So I have to say, right. I remember studying my MBA, we talk about goodwill, we talk about brand equity, and it's one of these concepts.
I'm really impressed that you haven't brought up your MBA until the 8th episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering. I have an MBA in strategy and entrepreneurship with a subset of leadership. I have worked for Fortune 1000 companies. Jessica, that'd be like me talking about how important my hair is to my self-worth. Do you think I'm that funny? Go watch episode 7, everybody. You'll get that. No, but the point about my college study of brand equities, I never got it. It was a concept that never sank in for me. Mm. And your analogy is like, I'm literally learning right now. So I would love for you to keep going because I get it. It's about the positioning of what your customer is going to engage you and what that expectation is.
Yeah.
So keep educating.
Go for it.
Like what is brand equity?
So when I do these, when I do speaking engagements, and we usually talk about.
Oh, it's only episode 8 and you're finally talking about how you. So when you do speaking engagements.
Yeah. I have this slide that goes up and it says, you know, brand equity at the simplest form, if you're trying to understand it, is when your customer has a thing they're trying to achieve, a thing they're trying to do, a job, like as we say.
Yeah.
They immediately think of a brand to get that job done. And I put a list of jobs up on the screen and have everybody in the audience kind of think of the brand that comes to mind. Like, I need to catch a ride to get somewhere. People come
Pony up. Express.
Pony Express. Usually come up with one or two brands that you strongly associate with that task, right? One of them, depending on who you talk to, might have more positive brand equity. Another one might have some negative brand equity, which is could be a whole other episode. Big joke I like to do is, I'm hungry for some tacos. And if I show it to an Austin-based audience, everybody in the crowd yells, Torchies.
Right.
And then I put Taco Bell up on the screen just to make everybody mad. And then the Taco Bell goes away and the Torchies comes up. And I go, of course, I'm kidding. It's Torchies. But
it's 3 a.m. and I'm hungry for some tacos.
Yeah, that's a different kind of taco craving. So at the simplest form, that's what brand equity is. And even the smallest business has the ability to build brand equity with their customer. And some of it is what you do after the sale, after you deliver the service. How do you stay in front of that customer so they can continue to associate you with that thing that you did so that they refer and come back? I think a lot of home service style companies don't do a good job at this. They're like one and done, build no equity with their customer. Their customer starts from scratch every single time that need comes up. And then there's other service companies where we kind of take it for granted because it's a relationship-based service like our agency. You know, we work with customers over a long period of time. But we have to be very conscious how we're delivering that service all along the way. Otherwise, we won't gain their loyalty and we won't get referrals from them, which is how we grow, right?
Yeah. So, no, I think that's really great. I'm actually really excited about something that we're working on that I'm not going to tell you, but no, I will. I don't have to, is the idea.
Did you tell
you the audience because Jessica, you realize we're recording this for other people, right? This is
Are you working something you haven't told me about? What is it?
Episode 8, where the wheels fall off. Anyway, just in terms of staying in top of mind, you guys have a really our team has come up with something really good. I'm excited for people to start receiving them. But an example, home services is great. I actually heard an anecdote once about a chimney sweep who every time he would go in, he would ask the homeowner if it was all right if he took a picture with their dog. And then he would, after the fact, send a postcard with the picture of the dog.
Oh, that's a great.
And so it was like, it's like a fridge magnet. And so he had his business top of mind with something that they would hang on the fridge. It wasn't a picture of the guy with the dog. That would be on the backside, but it was just a picture. Like it was, he would take this nice portrait of the dog and then print it out and send it to him.
That's so amazing. I love that story. I don't think a lot of people think about building brand equity when they're running their business. They think about marketing should equal lead gen. That's really just one part of it. And the, lots of people smarter than me will say the brand part of your business is the most valuable part of the business. And it's the one that's the hardest to actually put a number to.
But
this came up recently.
And the easiest to mess up.
That's right. This came up with a business owner friend of mine who had this question about whether or not he should do public relations as part of a plan. You know, he spends all of his money on online advertising. He has basically an in-house team that does digital marketing for leads. And I just asked him, I thought, is brand equity important to your business? And will it be important to the person who buys your business eventually? The answer is yes. I don't think he's ever thought about a plan on building that kind of equity for his business, right? He's just assuming you deliver the service, you deliver the product, you're good. That's not it, right? So we'll get into kind of the structure of it, but I like to say that building brand equity is basically the same as a relationship. The fancy term for it is there's a brand resonance pyramid that you can look up if you want to Google something textbooky. But you can just envision a pyramid. And at the bottom of it is the widest piece, right? And this is where people are first interacting with your brand. And I always say it's like going to the party and you don't know anybody there. You know that eventually you would like to have a conversation or maybe meet somebody there, maybe have a relationship with somebody there. But when you first enter that party, it is noisy and you don't know one thing different from the other, right? So the brand's job is really to stand out at that point and catch the attention of the person at the party. And that's what a lot of the online advertising and regular advertising that you do in the marketplace is built around. It's just this very first step. It's shallow and it's wide and you're competing against a lot of other brands.
Yeah, so it makes me think about going to a new grocery store for the first time, even if it's the same one in a different part of town. You just walk in and you're like,
whoa,
I know what I want. Like, I have no idea where it is.
Doesn't it really throw you off too when the grocery store is the same but flipped? Like the produce is over here instead of over here. It really throws me off. Anyway, so that's the first step of that brand relationship. And for a customer, you know, a lot of cases, they don't even know what they're looking for. And your job as a brand is to understand what triggers may come for that customer down the road, that you understand what value you're going to provide for that person later so that you can start messaging it early. That way it comes to mind later on in the relationship, right? So the next step of the pyramid, as it kind of gets more less wide, more narrow, is this part where people are figuring out what the difference is between everybody. So now you're at the party and you're having small talk with a bunch of people, and some of it's going well, some of it isn't. And it's the same with brands. Like if you're in the moment of trying to compare brands and see who you're going to hire maybe down the road, there are things that will throw you off and you won't want to talk to that brand ever again. Just the same with a small talk at a party, right? Someone can say something and you're going to be like, slow walk back. I'm not talking to that guy again. You know, unfortunately, brands do this too, right? They have this opportunity. They caught the attention of their customer and then they say something so wrong or the imagery is so wrong or something like that, the customer's done, right? Like if you were a solar panel company and you're selling, hoping to sell to pretty big homeowners in the area that have these large homes and all of your imagery is off, like it's ranches or it's smaller homes, or it doesn't even look like the imagery came from the right part of the state. Like there's something about it that just goes, yeah, this isn't the company for me. So part of it is just understanding what all the visuals and the messaging need to be at that point, right? You caught their attention and then you nailed it with the first kind of first impression piece, right?
Yeah. When we go through our customer buyer's journey process with strategic clients, it's very important for us to talk through, okay, what is the customer doing in each of these phases? Mm-hmm. And what I say all the time is the customer has to be able to see themselves using your product. And that's anything that creates friction for them to say, okay, this is me, I see myself in it, is going to lose you or make it harder for you to qualify and gain that lead.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you brought up the purchasing journey because it overlays so beautifully with the brand experience.
Yeah.
So I'm going to touch on it a little bit, but maybe there's another episode there too. But the next step is the pyramid gets even more narrow. In the party analogy, it is the one-on-one conversation. Like you've really like made me laugh. You get me. Let's go talk more. Let's get more in depth. In the purchasing journey stage, that's that consideration stage. Now you're like really thinking about buying.
Yeah.
Party, you're having that talk. Your brand's job at that point is to really show you understand, ask questions, respond appropriately. There's a lot of ways that brands mess this up. And a lot of it is they're just not meeting the expectations of the customer at that point.
Yeah.
When I think about content marketing and the way that contributes to branding, it's, you know, are they talking about the issues that matter to me in that content? Do they understand the customer enough to be less surface level in the way that they discuss these topics online? They dive a little bit deeper. Do they really get me, right? And that consideration right there, that's where you're building a really strong foundation for an educated buyer to come into the brand and already kind of have loyalty from the moment they start working with you. Yeah. You mess it up and it's not quite right, they might still hire you, but you're not starting with a strong foundation of brand loyalty that you can capitalize on. You're always going to be trying to earn their trust, basically, right?
Yeah, once they're looking for something to go wrong, or they've gotten the hint that something might go wrong, it's really hard to ratchet that back.
Yeah, that's right. And you mentioned in the previous episode, what was it? The customer effort
score. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Customer effort score. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that meets right here, I think, really well. Like if they're in the process of considering your brand versus another brand and they're diving in deeper and they're even maybe having conversations with you at this point and trying to figure out if they're going to hire you for services. You know, right now is your opportunity to meet every single need perfectly. So they enter with that highest level of trust. You've reduced the effort in their job to hire you.
Yeah.
And so they're going to come in much more loyal than before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the very point of it, I always say it's like when we've decided to go on the date or enter into the relationship or whatever the case may be, that the top of the pyramid is really when the person is choosing to be loyal to your brand. You mentioned before being married, and this is kind of getting married to the brand. You're getting into a serious relationship. Brand's job at this point is to not screw it up. Like you said about your talking to your wife before, asking what she needs to make sure that you can respond appropriately instead of just always assuming, is the same thing brands have to do to build and continue to build that equity with their customer after the purchase. So the top of the pyramid actually is a little bit more work. You know, like as marketers, we can kind of get people through the steps of getting to the purchase. And then the company has a lot of work to do to make sure that they can maintain those relationships and kind of create the best experience for that customer so that their flywheel of word of mouth can really keep spinning, right?
Yeah.
And that's how you scale.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's hard for most people is that they don't think about it as work, mm-hmm. right? They just think, oh, we got to that point where it's a customer. It's not, how do I continue to engage them and mm-hmm. delight them? So for us, we always go through that buyer's journey and we make sure, hey, how are they going to be delighted?
Yeah.
Beyond what the expectation of the contract or the service is, because mm-hmm. that's what's going to increase the lifetime value of this customer. And hey, we're all business owners, right? So this right. is ultimately about finding the most valuable customers for your business. And it's effort. It takes mm-hmm. a plan to engage them consistently. Like,
yeah.
Imagine forgetting your anniversary, right?
Like, that's right.
Everybody, relationship really is such a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it yeah. really is, at that point, it's your opportunity to mess it up. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, the companies that understand that and who get excited about the creative ways to engage them are the ones that win. Yeah. And so that's what we love helping with.
That's right. And I think just thinking about our business too, we do a great job of gaining customers. But once we understood that the kind of customer that we're looking for, you know, our kind of our ideal client, they're mm-hmm. not hiring us to build them a website. They're not happy to just have the website. They really want partnership, collaboration. They want a marketing team that's just not located at the same office as them, basically. Mm-hmm. And with that, you have to adapt how you do business. That's why we have client services managers, not just project managers. That's why we do hosting and maintenance planned and managed services so we can keep them moving and engaged mm-hmm. with us because that's what they're looking for. And we build beautiful websites, but most of the time they're not hiring us to build the website. They want to work with somebody to build their website. Yeah. And then they want someone to help them grow the website over time, right?
Yeah.
So that's, and how we treat them for the long term is really why we've been successful. And businesses have to think about that if they want to be successful building brand equity. So
yeah,
one of the things we saw a lot during the COVID thing, like you brought up before, is the people who never emailed their customers ever before suddenly emailed everybody. Oh gosh, like what a miss, right? If you had had a great relationship building cadence with everybody from the get-go, you could have easily communicated something about COVID without being the weirdo that just came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, I recently, this past weekend, went through my personal email and just unsubscribed like 40 or 50 different emails that I didn't know that I was signed up for because I never signed up for it. You know, it was like, It really feels so impersonal. And mm-hmm. that's the missed opportunity. I mean, one of the things we talk about is really we do two things, right? We build brand. Mm-hmm. So we build brand equity. We help establish that expectation mm-hmm. of who you are, that your client's really going to engage with. And then we fuel growth. Like we're going to both directly by generating leads, but then also indirectly by nurturing client relationships, mm-hmm. enable your company to focus and grow through those two things. And a lot of companies, it's so easy to, I don't want to say it's easy to do, but a lot of companies don't understand that you can do these tactics, right? You can build a website, you can send an email, you can sign up for an email list and do it wrong. Mm-hmm. And you can't walk that back, right? Yeah. Like you cannot walk that back. It's like going to the party and not wearing pants, which honestly, I think is going to happen a lot once we come out of this quarantine, because to be honest, there are a lot of you out there who aren't wearing pants right now and no judgment, but remember,
just remember,
leave the house, wear your pants.
That's funny. Well, I was thinking about ways that you could probably figure out that you aren't doing a good job with your brand equity. Yeah. And one of the major triggers, and I hear it from clients too, is we do get referrals, but they're not good referrals, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or, and this, there's companies we've talked to where they're pretty sure that even if we went back and talked to their old customers have no idea what they do, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think that should be a trigger to let you know that you haven't done anything in the brand equity relationship building pyramid that we're referencing to build the brand loyalty that you need long term. If we're talking about creating engines for growth for these mid-sized businesses that are really trying to get to the next level, they can't do it without it. I mean, it's once you get the work to acquire a customer, that customer should be loyal, well-educated about all of the expertise you have, and should be recommending you to everybody they talk to that any issue comes up, you know, that falls with this. And it's just amazing to me that some companies don't realize that this is a problem, but they know that the referrals they're getting are bad. Or if even lower on the marketing scale, I'll get complaints about, oh, my AdWords is a bunch of, you know, BS leads. I'm like, probably didn't figure something out about the value you deliver and what people are expecting those ads to say, what your website needs to be saying and communicating to that customer, and then all the things that are supposed to be happening online to reinforce that message to kind of get them to hire you. It's so surface level to say my AdWords aren't converting. It's the whole ecosystem isn't converting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's this trend right now called growth hacking. And I hate it because it's legitimately, it's hacking. It's, hey, we're just going to chip away at this problem until we find out what works. And it's not strategic at all. And it's not, it's fueling growth at the expense of brand experience. And it drives short-term value, which is why it's very popular right now. But it is not for companies that want to have sustainable growth.
That's right.
It is for companies that want to get a lot of money in really fast and then flame out. So
That reminds me of a few years ago with the SEO trend. Everybody was hiring people to come up with a lot of short-term SEO tricks to get these websites to rank.
Yep.
And what would happen is Google would crush those.
Yeah.
Crush those things, and the websites would lose all viability. And as a company, we've always said, we'll do SEO, but we're going to do it building content and reputation.
Yeah.
And that's the right way to do it. Google will never, ever, ever punish you for trying to build a good brand and have a good company and build a good reputation online. And that's the best way to build that kind of stuff. So you know, I hate to say it, but it's just the boring way to do it, but it's the right way.
But it's the right way, right? And there's growth. Honestly, I think this is just making me realize there are so many, I think, statements that I hear in talking to prospects and talking to clients, like beliefs that they have about how marketing works or how it should work. Mm-hmm. So like maybe we should do an episode just on some of those myths.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that next?
That sounds good. Let's do that.
Which would involve us ending this episode. So now's the time when we end. And Jessica's developed a special catchphrase that she's going to say at the end of every episode to sign off. And this is what it is.
Go get you some.
Eat that brownie. That was amazing. Can we do a second take on that one? No? Takes?
No. That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, go get you some.
Okay. Oh, my eyes are watering.
Thank you, Jessica. That was exactly what I hoped for. That was exactly what I wanted.
Dying. Okay, we have to end this now. I'll see you next time, Kevin.
Maybe. If there is a next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go. Lars cares about. So, I had to sell my painting and it was great.
Can you do James Hatfield?
No, I can't. I can't.
Hush, little bird.
I can't do it.
Don't say a word.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on our website at hotdogmarketing.net/zigzag. You'll find more information and you can watch the video series there. You can tweet me anytime at @Jessica_markets. Rate us and find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again.